Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at Thankful for Hardships. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for always being available to us through your word and prayer, that we know any time we want to visit with you, you are ready for us. Thank you that as you open the scriptures to us and we drink deeply in them, we see clearer your face, your plan, your strength, and all that we may need for the days ahead. Thank you for this time together in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As you know, we've been doing a whole month of thankful. And we kind of went for the hard one. We went for thankful for adversaries, thankful for failure. Today maybe is a little bit more what we know, but just to look at it again, thankful for hardships. Well, the scriptures, of course, are loaded with that, as are many of our lives. But I just wanted to pick on one of what is probably the best examples of hardships, more than any of us could imagine, decades of hardships. But more to the point, how this gentleman could become thankful for it, and so we can learn from that. Amen. So we are going to open our Bibles to Thankful for Hardship. We are going to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. We meet our hero as a very young man, Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, and was feeding the flock. So we're going to look at Joseph today, and I know it's a familiar story to all of us, so we're just going to look at it from maybe a little bit different angle, and we know that it takes up at least a good 10 chapters, so we're not going to read every verse, but we're going to, most of us know the facts, but just to look at them again, that overall view, not just that he endured hardship, but he actually did come to the point of being thankful for hardship, and how what lesson we can learn from that. The thing is, it's easy to be thankful for good things. It's easy even to be thankful for God in the midst of hard things, but to be thankful for them. We saw Hannah being thankful that her adversaries provoked her to faith, to getting the miracle she needed and wanted. We saw it, of course, also with Samson being thankful for his failure. His failure changed him, transformed him into the man that became what he was always meant to be, a deliverer for the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Now we're going to look at another man, Joseph. When we first see him, he's just barely, he's a young whippersnapper. He's 17 years old, and he's keeping the flock, feeding the flock. You see, we could talk about Moses. Moses went through some things too, but he spent 40 years learning how to feed the flock. Joseph is feeding the flock, but I don't think he gets the idea of it yet. And his father loved him. He was the preferred one. Verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream. And of course, then he immediately told his brothers, and they had an ought against him. And then he dreamed another dream, and he told his dad, and his dad wasn't all that pleased with him. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you dreamed? Shall I and your mother bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And again, remember, a culture that's based so strongly on respect, and especially generationally, which of course we have completely lost in this world, but oh well, God is still God. Anyway, we know that what happened, and I just will go through a few of them. You may even know them far better than I. But when he told them, there was real discord among them. There was real resentment. Now, these weren't adversaries like Hannah had. He kind of created these himself, but he was young and excuse me to say this, young and stupid, which we all have been, that a lot of times we antagonize people and we create adversaries, which of course was not what Hannah did. But anyway, his brothers turned against him and even his father, which of course caused him great grief later. But we know what happens, but follow with me. His brothers debate. This is a terrible one. They debate whether they're going to kill him or just sell him into slavery. Oh, so the good guys won, and he was sold into slavery. He wasn't killed. Well, then another bad thing happened. They went, and of course he didn't know of this, but they told his father that he had died. They took his coat that was so, not that he was just proud of, but was meaningful, was important, was positional, was a sign of favor, and they tore it, and they bloodied it. And so there's some real, I don't want to just say symbolism there, but the thing that was the most for him, the important thing, the thing that distinguished him, that was the mark of his success and of his promise as a leader among his brethren, was the coat, and they tore it and they bloodied it. Amen. So that happens. Then they sell him into slavery. He's taken way far, far away down to Egypt. And then he's sold into slavery to a man's house. The man put him in charge of things. Again, he was used. They used his skill set, didn't they? Potiphar's wife lied about him, and Potiphar didn't even investigate it, threw him in prison. So things keep getting worse. Now he's a presumed dead slave, but now he's a presumed dead slave in prison who's been lied about. It gets even worse. Could it get worse? He's in the prison, and it says that everything there was, he was the doer of it. While the keeper of the prison gave him authority, gave him responsibility, there was a great deal to do. Anyway, but then, you know, he still kept up his relationship with God. He had his gift, his you know, is a dreamer of dreams, but he became an interpreter of dreams. This is one thing I want to point out, that his hardships, it wasn't before he just dreamed dreams. It's, I don't want to say it's easy to dream dreams, but it's different to dream dreams and to interpret dreams, interpret others' dreams. We all, let me just put it like this. You may have some kind of dream of something you want to do in ministry, but it's something different when God gives you the skill, the capacity, the compassion, the heart to actually then help others fulfill their dreams, interpret their dreams, and fulfill them. It's one thing. That's why, you know, we've talked about the three kinds of faithfulness, that, you know, that we're not just to be faithful. We always say faithful in little, and then God will put you over much. But he also says very pointedly, when you're faithful in another man's thing, then God will put you over your own thing. That was something that Joseph learned, developed. He became, you know, that was the accusation that both his brethren and his father had against him, that you think you're going to lord over us. But he learned at Potiphar's house, helped Potiphar in Potiphar's ambition. Well, he still got thrown into prison. Then in prison, he was helping the keeper of the prison fulfill his obligations. Well, then he met in the prison the two men, the baker and I was going to say the candlestick maker, but that's not it. But he helped them interpret their dreams. The butler and the baker helped them interpret their dreams. It shows a development. When we are young, we can dream all these dreams of woo, how God's going to use us. But when we can begin to see how God uses us to help others fulfill what they're called to do, do you see that growth there, that change, that hardship had developed something in Joseph he didn't have before then? Amen? And so then we know that eventually all the other things, you know, he was lied about, he was presumed dead, he was abandoned, he was betrayed. He's been betrayed so many times, betrayed by his brethren, betrayed by Potiphar, betrayed by the butler and the baker. He was overlooked. They promised him, overlooked, and he was forgotten, wasn't he? And then he was taken advantage of. This happens so frequently. We can feel like that we do for others, and we can become resentful that our own thing was not was overlooked, was forgotten, that people used us to their own end. And they did. But what was the end of this? This is these hardships. It's not, remember, these are not made up hardships. These are his hardships. It's not perceived. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. I mean, I don't know how long it would take us if we actually read all of these, but most of us know these stories, know these facts about his life, don't we? It took him years. Then even after he came into prominence at the Pharaoh's house, it wasn't because Pharaoh just thought he was a great guy. Pharaoh wanted to use him too, didn't he? So I think that Joseph had to understand about helping others. He again, interpreted Pharaoh's dream, but more than interpreted it, he helped it come to pass, didn't he? He helped him when he knew that there would be 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of hardship, that he not only said, yeah, that's it, he was then given charge to help Pharaoh get through that time, to make the most of it. So, but again, he could say, oh, well, Pharaoh just used him, but it, you know, well, the prison keeper used him, the baker used him, Potiphar used him, all these things happened, but he learned not just in spite of, but he learned to thank God for the hardship. That this was not a bad thing. It wasn't that God's going to do something in spite of it. which is a lot of times how we do. We kind of hold our breath till we see God deliver us through something, don't we? Amen. But anyway, so now we are kind of coming to the end of his hardships, except we aren't. What have those hardships done to him? The abandonment, the betrayal over and over and over, being overlooked, being forgotten, being taken advantage of. So now we come to the point where his brethren come down. Now, these are the same men who threw him into the pit, literally. We may say, oh, I've been thrown in a pit, but we haven't literally been thrown in a pit. Amen. And so this is the point where we all have, you know, we all know it leads up to this. But, you know, in his life, he didn't know that. And we talked about Samson being a failure, but I have to say probably he felt like a failure. I was supposed to be this, and I've blown it, you know, over and over and over again. He felt like he had failed. Remember we talked about Samson, the prophecy that went over him from the beginning. Amen. Anyway, so, and even Hannah feeling like she was a failure, but her adversaries provoked her to faith. So, okay, so here we are, and here is Joseph in a strange land. And most of you, maybe you have traveled somewhere. Maybe you've traveled to another country when you might have been on a tour and you had other guides that spoke English, etc. But to be totally plopped down in a completely different culture where they speak a completely different language, to feel like you have to try and carve out a place. You miss what was home, but that's gone from you. And, you know, these are certainly not like that, but some things that I've had some experience with, cultures that are so foreign, and when you think you're doing right, it's misinterpreted for wrong, and vice versa, you know? So anyway, and just always seeming out of it. Okay, but here he is trying to carve out. Remember, he took a wife and he said, you know, that's how he named his son. I was a stranger in a strange land. Amen. Yeah, Moses felt that same way too, didn't he? But anyway, so Joseph, so his brethren come down, and the circumstances forced them, didn't it? Forced them to come see him to see if by any chance there was hope for their family. They perhaps had also become a bit more mellowed with life experiences. Life teaches us things. When we're young, we think we know the word, so we know everything. And then I don't want to be jaded with age. On the other hand, we also have to respect those things that only having lived with can teach us. And so anyway, his brethren came down to him, and we know this. But he went through these hardships, and one thing about him, he continued to have an open heart. Joseph could not refrain himself. Chapter 45, remember we started in 37. We're now clear up to 45. He wept aloud on the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh. Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And there's some beautiful symmetry there, because Joseph's father thought Joseph was dead. Now Joseph is inquiring if his father is dead. If his father is still alive, all the time his father not knowing that Joseph was still alive. His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Of course, remember this man from before, don't they? But he was 17 then. This is years and years later. Anyway, so Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. He doesn't back away from what it was. The brethren knew him not up until that point. Now, therefore, be not grieved. He acknowledges you are the ones that did this, but be not grieved. Now, I don't know how many of us can say that, even when we've had small grudges, when small slights, small misuses of us, to be able to say, but don't be grieved. Not angry with yourselves, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. See, and he's trying to tell them, look, I've made peace, I've made understanding, but now you have. Amen. They themselves have too, haven't they? He said, I've learned how to understand for myself, and they have as well, because they were angry with themselves. They were upset that they had done this. But here's what he says, and we quote this all the time, but we really need to understand it. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And we read this line, see if I can find my scripture here. And I can't find it, but we all know it by heart, and we always quote it, and most of the time we quote it wrong. We said, for what God meant, for what the devil meant for evil, or what you men, you brothers, what you meant for evil, and many times we say, then God turned to good. Well, it does not say that God turned it to good. It says that God meant it for good. Those hardships were not in spite of. God's hand was in those hardships. Amen. For what you meant for evil, God meant them. Not that God let the devil take the lead and then said, now what will I do with this? What will I make out of this? You know, well, life gives you lemon. Well, let's make lemonade. No. If you want to make lemonade, hey, here's a surprise. Life will hand you lemons. But we need to understand that lemons are for lemonade. Okay. I'm getting thirsty here. Okay. Now, therefore, be not grieved. God did send me, not that you did it. The power is taken out of the hardship and given back into God's hand. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be harvest. So he's saying they came after 2 years, but he, because of his prophetic knowledge, knew there were 5 more years. Okay. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you and a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He's saying God did this for a great deliverance, not that I am this great deliverance. So now, if there were not you that sent me hither, but God. You see that change there. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all the house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Here was the thing. His father was afraid that he was going to try and replace him, yet he said, I have been made a father to Pharaoh. See all these little subtle little changes in there. Anyway, the children of Israel did come down, didn't they? And they were, you know, we know that first they went back and then they brought back his brother, and then he sent for his father. But you see, he repeatedly said, God did this. God did this. You didn't do it. I'm not bitter and resentful for what you did, because I now understand God did this. So here's what we see from this. He was thankful. He was thankful for his hardships. Why? It positioned him for protection. He was sent there by God. They may thought they did it by their evil, but he was positioned for protection. The same way the devil rejoiced when Jesus was on the cross. That's what it says in Corinthians. It says, but if he had known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory, right? That's because the devil thought he'd won. Little did he understand, he was positioned for protection. Calvary was not this terrible thing. It was a terrible thing. But God was positioning Christ to be our Redeemer. And so Joseph understood this, that what they thought they had done out of evil, he knew God did this to position him for protection. Then the other thing that happened to him through his hardships, through Potiphar's house and through the prison, through being the worker of all those things, being the person who helped them interpret their dreams and then being abandoned and forgotten, he was prepared for his purpose. That prepared him for his purpose. The hardships positioned him for protection. The hardships prepared him for his purpose. Sometimes the things we go through, we think that they are, that, well, God will do it in spite of. Little do we realize this is God's method of preparing us for our purpose. Amen? The number three, it provided perspective. This, I think, is the most exciting thing of them all. It provided him with perspective. He before was angry. He was upset, wasn't he? But listen to his tone, how there's a real change from the "I, my brethren will bow down to me." Joseph said to his brethren, "I'm Joseph, your brother. Now, therefore, be not grieved, be not angry with yourselves that you sold me hither." He isn't denying they did it. "For God did send me before you to preserve you." We're talking about positioning, but we're also talking about that perspective, the perspective on what he'd gone through. "For there are 2 years of the famine in the land, and yet," excuse me, "there are 5 years in which there shall neither be eating or harvest." Pardon me. Earing or harvest, I'm not sure. "And God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth." That's his purpose. "And to save your lives by a great deliverance." Again, the irony that they were willing to sacrifice his life, but his job was to preserve their life, to save their lives. They sent him down there into slavery, but he was there for deliverance. You see how there's a balance in each of these things. He learned that perspective. That didn't come easily. That came through years of hardship. I'm not saying we have to go through hardship, but for him, he learned in his hardship. He understood that he was being positioned for their protection. He was being prepared for his purpose, and he was being provided with perspective on how to view this thing, what all was going on. The thing is, that hardship was for him the great joy and rejoicing. Yes, he was lifted up. Yes, he had rulership, but it was still for a purpose. It was not even just for his brethren, but for posterity. And we know that from this came the Messiah. How much of a revelation did he have of that? We don't know. We have no idea. But maybe God gave him an inkling in those dark days when in dank prison with little amenities, living a rough and hard life, being at everybody's whim, being forgotten by his family, that in the midst of that, who knows if God did not speak to him. Again, we go back to this illusion, the same thing of Jesus on the cross. It wasn't that God forced him. God showed him, this is the way, this is the way we come to that point of redemption. It is through the cross. And I believe with all my heart that God gave him a little glimpse of the glory that would come. Because sometimes that's what we need, to have just a glimpse of why we're doing what we're doing. Joseph embraced those hardships at the end. Not at first, Boy, that was not Joseph when he was 17. But Joseph in his midlife understood those hardships were the things that God gave him as a gift. He was thankful for them because by those hardships, it wasn't even about Joseph anymore. That's the biggest thing he learned. But that it was God was positioning him, preparing him, and providing for him to be that great deliverer, the saver of lives, and above all, the preserver of posterity. Because all of us, as certainly as we owe Jesus for our salvation and redemption, we owe Joseph. Because if he had not preserved his brethren, if he had not preserved the 12 tribes, there would never have come a redeemer from them, would there? No. So we can be thankful for that hardship. But we need to understand, too, that that man was thankful for that hardship. We have been looking all this month at being thankful, not just in spite of, but because of, that we might broaden our own, challenge ourselves to be thankful for some things that have just been hard to bear, whether it be adversaries or whether it be failure or whether it be hardship. For God himself is in it. He's in it for us. Not necessarily that he's the author of each of it, but in the midst of it, we still will fulfill our calling. Samson was a failure, but he still fulfilled his calling, didn't he? He was what God had meant him to do, to be, he was. Amen. And so here, Joseph always was destined to do this, but he needed to get that perspective to understand it. Amen. So I just encourage you this month to continue to be thankful. But as we're thankful, let us look at what we are thankful for, not just for the good things or not even just deliverance in the bad things, but that God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us. God has a prophecy over us that we shall be what we always were intended to be, that we can embrace it and be thankful for it. And that in the midst of this, even in the midst of that hardship, God brought a great deliverance to not only the nation of Israel, which wasn't even a nation yet, was it? But to all of us, that in that hardship, there came that great perspective, protection, and purpose. And so as we look to this week, let's just learn to be thankful. And I not that we haven't learned it, but learn over and over again to embrace being thankful for some of the things that seem so difficult, so hard, that God, even in that, there is something that we will embrace. We will say, thank God for it. That's my prayer for each of us this week. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, give us grace to understand and have a perspective on the things that we go through. That God, we see your hand in our life, and not just for ourselves, but what our life, our purpose, our being brings to others, that there be protection, or there may be deliverance, or there may be salvation for others through those things that we go through. Thank you, Father God, that you always are open to us. Your ears are always open to our prayers. Your heart is always open to our desires. And that you always mean the best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next week. Hope this has been a great month of thankfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, discovering God's hidden treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'em Radio's on demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found